Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to our podcast. This is Pastor Madiba. If you happen to be in our area, you are most welcome to visit us. You'll surely feel at home. We appreciate your prayers for our ministry. We hope today's sermon will be edifying to you, your family, and your friends. Welcome. All of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How many say Baya Danki?
Amen.
How many are thankful this morning?
Amen.
I think we have every reason to be thankful.
Amen.
God bless you. As we turn to our Bibles, Brother Grace is helping us to manage the library. He's our librarian. He has availed himself. Amen. To just cooperate with him. Amen. We appreciate the Lord. Sister Corey will be relocating to Captain Park and later on Pretoria. Sunday is her last Sunday. She's been with us for a number of years here. And we just want to appreciate you for the time that we spent with her. Amen. You all know Sister Cori. Can we give her a round of applause? Amen. So we appreciate you, my sister, even if you are moving geographically, but in spirit we are still one. Amen. So we appreciate you. She'll be staying with her children in Capuchin Park. Amen. Let's turn to the book of John, the 4th chapter, the 19th verse. John, the 4th chapter, the 19th verse. I found it written in this manner. The woman saith unto him, say, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when he shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. As we turn Revelation chapter 5, verse 7 and 10. Found it written this manner. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign for on the earth. As we bow our heads, gracious Heavenly Father, we consider it to be a grand privilege this morning just to be allowed to utter the name of the Lord. Being cognizant that there was a time when we were deemed unworthy, but here we are after we've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as the wild olive, we have been crafted into the domestic olive. And here we are, the God of Israel is now our God. And what a privilege that we are not even deemed to be the servants, but we are deemed to be the wife of Jesus Christ. And here are the Jews deemed to be the servants. A wife is greater than a servant. And Lord, it only takes your grace for us to be where we are. And Heavenly Father, this morning believers sang songs of Zion. They are singing because they are rejoicing in their hearts. Where else could we rejoice except in the presence of the Lord? Where else can we be stimulated except in the presence of the Lord? Where else can we be rejuvenated except in the presence of the Lord? Where can we be re-energized except in the presence of the Lord? Your presence, dear God, is very vital to us. No wonder the Israelites one time they said, unless your presence go with us, we rather remain where we are. And this morning we share the same sentiment. If your presence is not with us, rather we stay here where we are. But Heavenly Father, we are blessed because we can feel your presence. Many times we are looking for a lot of things, greater things to happen, but sometimes you come in a simple manner. Your prophet told a believer and said, there was a time when you had an appetite for the things of the world, but since that appetite ceased, it's because you became something in the kingdom of God. He says to that believer, you may not have had the dynamics of the Spirit, you may not have spoken in tongues, but the change of a nature signifies something has taken place. And this morning, men and women who are here, most of them can attest of the time when they were had worldly appetites. But here we are today, they've got a different appetite. Now they can sing and rejoice and dance in the presence of the Lord. They can worship you, dear God, with some sense of recognition of who you are. That we deemed it to be a grand privilege. Because there are many people out there that are dying without hope. But here we are, not because we're clever, not because we're better, but because sovereign grace deemed us that we are worthy to come into your presence and worship you. May we never take this moment for granted. We have seen during a lockdown how it was critical for us to meet, how we missed one another. But dear God, you have made it possible for once again, just for the before the final flight, for us to come and worship you. You deserve all the praises. You deserve all the worship. And everything that is within us, let it worship you, dear God, because you deserve all the praises. And right now, we take every spirit under the control of the Holy Spirit. Satan, we bind you. If you have caused a moment of sadness in the lives of the children of God, we bind you. At this point in time, if you have triggered diseases, we bind you. If happiness is not there, we restore happiness. We restore health, dear God. We restore everything that needs to be restored. Everything that a believer has lost this morning under the title deed, we are enforcing a restoration of what they have lost. We know who we are, dear God. And that is why we commit the service to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As you take your seats. Amen. We appreciate the Lord this morning. And Once again, I want to speak about true worship. Amen. That's what I want to speak about true worship. Because here in the encounter between the Lord and the Samaritan woman, worship became central to their discussion. And we know how the background of the story, how Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman, and later we came to understand that the prophet says he was contacting her spirit. Yes. Amen. And why did he have to go beyond the flesh to contact a spirit is because her identity was not confined to the flesh. Beyond the flesh, she was something higher than the flesh. The flesh was a prostitute, but the spirit was a believer. Amen. But because of amnesia, the flesh was controlling the spirit. But when Jesus came with his divine intervention, now the spirit began to control the flesh. How many know what I'm talking about? There was a time when you were controlled by the flesh. All of us here, there was a time when we were led and controlled by the flesh. But a time came where the flesh lost a grip on you. And something took over. And your, Brother Bram says, your disposition changed. Your habits changed. Your thinking changed. Your attitude changed. Everything about you changed. Because from that time, you were now led by the Spirit. Are you still with me? Now, the true worship can never come as long as you are led by the flesh. What brings the true worship is when you are led by the Spirit. Because God is not carnal. God is a spirit. And God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Are you still with me? Am I talking to worshippers this morning? The people that have experienced a true worship. Now, then the woman said to him, "Say, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Now, Jesus comes during a time where there was a dispute in terms of the true locality of worship. The Samaritans said, "We are not coming to Jerusalem. We will worship in the mountains." Now, the Jews were worshiping in Jerusalem and said, "This is the place to worship God." But now Jesus comes. He brings a different locality. He says, "The hour cometh and now is that you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you don't know." I like it how he says, he doesn't say you worship what who you don't know. You worship what you don't know. Are you still with me? Because you can worship. But after you are a worshiper, we check the subject of your worship. Because you can worship anything. In the message of the hour we have come, you can worship the church. You can worship the pastor. You can worship your wife, your husband, your car, your house, your job. You can worship a variety of things. But it takes only a true spirit of God to worship God. Amen. Are you still with me? Now it says, "Ye worship ye not what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father." We have spoken about this phrase in this church many a times. He doesn't say you will worship God, but it says you will worship the Father. That means he makes worship to be relational. Hallelujah. Yeah. You cannot worship God unless you have a relationship with God. Are you still with me? And actually, when you worship without a relationship, your worship is conditional. Your worship is seasonal. Your worship is circumstantial. But when you worship and it is based on a relationship, you worship anyhow. Are you still with me? There are times where people worship because things are going right. But a real worshiper is worshiping irrespective of the circumstances. Job was a worshiper. When the children were around, Job worshipped God. Job was a worshiper. When the fields were there, he worshipped God. But when he lost everything, he remained with worship. And I want to say, if you were to lose everything, can you remain with worship? If you lose your friends, lose your family, lose your church, lose everybody that is close to you, can you remain with worship?
Yes.
Actually, a true, genuine worship is tested when things are tougher. If you're a worshiper that worship because things are going right, that kind of worship will never last. But you know, we are getting into an hour where we are addressing the worshippers in the third court. Are you still with me? A worshiper in the first court is circumstantial. It depends whether it is sunny. A worshiper in the second court is circumstantial. If the candlesticks run out, he never worship. But a worshiper that moves into the presence of the Shekinah glory. Hallelujah. A worshiper that moves into the presence of the Shekinah glory. There is no noise of the world that will affect such a worshiper. I'm talking about worshippers that will never be affected. You know, when the high priest went into the third court, the curtain dropped behind him. And that curtain, brother, I'm going to say, it closed to the noise of the world. Are you with me? A real worshiper, you can never gossip them out of the presence of God. Talk so they don't affect them. Hatred doesn't affect them. Circumstances doesn't affect them. They are worshippers throughout. Are you still with me? And actually, when you come into the presence of Shekinah glory, where there is no life, life comes back. Hallelujah. You can never be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and remain the same. Somebody will say amen to that. You will never be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and remain the same. You can be as dead as a wood, but once you are brought into the presence of the Shekinah glory, there comes a ray of hope. Are you still with me? People begin to look at you and say, but there is something about you. Are you still? People that had dismissed you, they began to think that there is something of substance about you. Oh, brother, God will make you credible for your testimony. He made the Samaritan woman to be credible. A prostitute, when she came in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a woman that had no credibility, now she had a credibility. What happened? From that time, she became a true worshiper. And how did it begin? She knew who she was worshiping. I hope we are together here. Now, before I get into my notes, there is what we call the prince of the preachers, Charles Spurgeon. I came across his quotation that blessed me, a very sincere man that preached during the 18th century. He spoke about something very critical here. He says, some go to church to take a walk. Some go there to laugh and to talk. Some go there to meet a friend. Some go there their time to spend. Some go there to meet a lover. Some go there a fault to cover. Some go there for speculation. Some go there for observation. Some go there to doze and nod. The wise go there to worship God. The question that we are bringing to your doorstep this morning, what brought you this way? Hallelujah. What made you to wake up on Sunday morning and prepare your family and come this way? If it is to just to take a walk, it will be in vain. If it is just to laugh and talk to fellow people, it will be in vain. If it is to meet a friend, it will be in vain. If it is just to while time, it will be in vain. If it is just to look for a marital partner, it will be in vain. If it is to find fault, it will be in vain. If it is for speculation, it will be in vain. If it is just for observation, it will be in vain. And God forbid that you are here to doze off. Are you still with me?
Amen.
But the wise go there to worship God.
Amen.
And I hope some people are here to worship God.
Amen.
Are you still with me?
Amen.
Now we'll come and indicate to you what worship is. Let's give you a sketch. A man may have been to a place of worship from his youth up and may have fallen into habit of repeating a sacred form every morning and every evening. He may have been a tolerable, diligent reader of the word, and yet though this may have been continued for 60 years and more, he may never once have worshipped God after the fashion that is prescribed in the text that we read this morning. Isn't it a tragedy that you could be in a place of worship for 60 years and never have experienced true worship? Now, already it is debunking some myths that worshiping in a sense of singing, it's an expression of worship. Worshiping in terms of uttering a prayer, it's an expression of worship. You can do an expression without it being true worship. I want this to sink in. You can have the activities that seem to be a form of worship and still be devout of true worship. The lip can say something that resembles the worship, but the heart can be far away from worship. And if the heart is detached from the worshiping process, the end result of such a process is vanity. God is God of hearts. Are you here, believers? I hope you are being cautious and in order to process what I'm saying. Now, brother, before you get to this scripture, I say, if a man, what brings worship, and I'm going to go into the fundamentals before I get into the other stuff. What brings a worship first, it is when you come to the point where you deem yourself unworthy.
Amen.
The moment you are worthy, it breeds pride.
Amen.
What brings, and the moment you feel unworthy, it brings humility. Because you are aware that other people could be where you are, but you consider it to be a grand privilege. The beginning of worship begins by saying, God, forgive me, I sinned against you. I hope you're not far into the journey and you've forgotten the beginning. When you first heard the gospel, and the gospel pricked your heart, and after the gospel pricked your heart, then it made you remorseful. Are you still with me? It made you to look at your life and regret the path that you had taken. It made you to look at the things that you had done. But you have come to the point where you say, Lord, I am very sorry.
Amen.
And from that time, when you were there, now later on, from where you went on a guilt trip, for a lack of a better way, where you felt remorseful, where you felt guilty, where you felt unworthy, then you began to hear about the atonement of the cross. And something was spoken, and at that moment, then you realize your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Then you realize that although your sins were like a scarlet, but now they are white as snow. Although your sins were like a red as crimson, but now they are like wool.
Yes.
Then that moment when you realize that I'm forgiven from a state of guilt, from a state of worthlessness, but now to a state of acceptance, to a state where you know I am forgiven. And in the message, we take it further to a state where you know I am justified. My sins are not remembered anymore. It is as though I had never done it in the first place. Everything that I did in my previous life has been taken away and was put on Satan. And say, Satan, it was a case of mistaken identity. Yes, he murdered, but he was not a murderer. You are a murderer, Satan. Yes, he did this and that, but he's not him. It's because you took hold of him. But on this basis of atonement, we are now moving from this person. They are no longer guilty, not only guilty, but they are not now forgiven. Not only forgiven, but they are justified.
Amen.
Then you come into the presence of God and you realize everything that I've ever done was taken and thrown into the sea of forgetfulness.
Amen.
That even God himself can never remember anymore.
Amen.
Now, what happens then? Then it ushers you, it provokes a sense of gratitude.
Amen.
Then at the beginning of gratitude, there begins worship.
Amen.
Where you say, Lord, I was unworthy.
Amen.
Lord, I was a sinner.
Amen.
Lord, I was a reject. But by your grace, by the blood of Jesus Christ, now I can come into your presence. I can worship you like Abraham worshipped you. I can worship you like Jacob worshipped you. But yet you had a dark background. But despite your dark background, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed you. And I don't know how many this morning, their hearts are full of gratitude. My coming to church is not an entitlement. There was a time when I was worthy not to be mentioned within the church corridors. But here is divine grace. There were good people better than you were, but God bypassed them. There were people that never did anything, but God bypassed them. God bypassed royalty and came your way and say, this is my man, this is my woman, this is my boy, this is my girl, and brought you in. Ah, brother, this morning our hearts are bubbling with joy.
Amen.
Are you still with me?
Amen.
Now, when you know, firstly, remember, Pastor Madiwa was not there. Even Brother Branham was not there. You are alone. Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
No one can come to me unless he is drawn by the Father.
Amen.
Brother Branham couldn't bring you. Abraham couldn't bring you. Your mother couldn't bring you. Your pastor couldn't bring you. But there is Christ.
Amen.
Who had a tracking system? Who had a tracking system?
Amen.
You know, there are places when your car goes into, you know, it's gone. In Joburg, if it goes into Soweto, it's gone. If it goes into El Arroyo Park, it's gone. And actually, VW Polo, well, as soon as it goes into El Arroyo, within 10 minutes, it is mangled. I saw it on a video. But now, there are places that a tracker cannot track. But God's a tracker.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's a tracker.
Amen.
It never cared where you were.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was no place where you were not reachable.
Amen.
When you were there in the mud of sin, when you were there in your traditions, when you were there far away, but there was something within you yearning for God.
Amen.
There was something in you desiring to worship God.
Amen.
You tried this and tried that, but it never quenched that thirst. Until one day,
through God's navigation system, Amen. Through God's tracking system, Amen. You came across the gospel. Yes. Not any other gospel, but the gospel out of the pages of the Bible. Yes. Not any other gospel, but the original gospel. Yes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yes. That Word took a human form, and that Word traced you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. They asked Brother Branham, will everybody come to the message of the hour? He says it is not necessary, but God is obligated to drive this message into the hands of the predestinated ones. Brother, do you hear? Obligated. He was compelled to find you. I say he was compelled to find you. Because without you, the body of Christ was incomplete. Folks, without you, the body of Christ was incomplete. You had to be found. If God had to search Zimbabwe, he searched Zimbabwe. If God had to search Congo, he searched Congo. If he had to search South Africa, he searched South Africa. But by the grace of God, not by the intellect of man, by the grace of God, against human protocol, here you are this morning. Here you are this morning. In the presence of God. What brought you? Not Pastor Madiba. That's why don't worship me. I was not there when we came into the gospel. But God knocked on your heart and opened your heart and said, that's my son, that's my daughter, and pulled you in. Some of you, you were refusing. He pulled you in. I said, some of you, you are giving a pushback, but he pulled you in. Circumstances held you, but he pulled you in. And here you are today, not by your effort, by grace. I said, by grace. By grace. We are here this morning, by grace. And all the praises, let them go to the Almighty God. All the worship, let it go to the Almighty God. Are you here this morning? In Acts 17, verse 22, the Bible says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. This group was superstitious. Every time where you find superstitions being rife, you must know that the knowledge of God has dwindled. Especially, this is very relevant. And I've realized that there is no race that is immune from superstitions. A lot of times, black people think superstition is only for black people. Even within the white community, they've got silly superstitions. Don't see the bride's dress before the wedding. Friday was Friday the 13th that we come from. Just Friday the 13th sends shivers down the spine of many people in Western world. They say something is going to happen. Then you come where a black cat is cherished within the white community, but is hated within the black community. If it crosses in front of you, it means something bad is going to happen. Do you know those superstitions? The Bible calls them old woman's fairy tales. Those things, they must never get grip of you. I know superstition. I can bring it. Don't be in the front of mirror when there is a thunderstorm. Are you still with me? Don't sweep at night. If you hear sound of an owl, it means somebody is going to die. A lot of things. But the message and the gospel is here to liberate you. To liberate you from your superstitions. Yes, I used to be afraid when I saw a black cat in front of me crossing. I would immediately run so that I can really cross in front of it before it comes across me. But after the gospel set me free, when I see a black cat, I say, what does it mean? The black cat is going somewhere. That's what it means. I had no relationship with its movement. If I hear an owl in the night, I say, praise be to God. Maybe that owl is worshiping God. If there is a thunderstorm at night, I can stand in the front of the mirror and adjust my hair. I'm not governed by superstitions. I have been liberated from superstition. There is no superstition that has got no hold on me as a believer. You know what I'm talking about. Within black community, if you go to a funeral, you don't move from the graveyard straight home. You must go back to the family because it is perceived that you will take death to your family. But after the message of the hour came my way, there's been many times when I would say at the graveside, I am not going home. I'm not returning where you come from. I am rushing somewhere. And I never brought the death along me. Why? That superstition spell has been broken. We are free. He that the Son set free is free indeed. This morning, the gospel has liberated us. We are afraid of nothing. But Paul came across these people and found out that, you know, when a superstition can come into a church, it's an ugly thing. Some people, if you buy them a flower from certain races, if you buy them a flower while they're in the hospital, they get upset. They say, you want me to die. They believe their life will move from them to the flower. Nonsensical things. You know what I'm talking about? Superstitions. But here is a problem. What made superstitions to be fertile? For as I passed by and beheld your devotions. You know, there are devotions that are not devotions. There are testimonies that are not testimonies. You know, in this church, when you bring a testimony, we want to check who is central to your testimony. If your testimony makes us to be afraid, we reject it. I've rejected many in my office. I say, this sounds good, but not good for the church. Because you can see an underlying spirit. Are you with me? I mean, if you have been worshiping with us for 10 years, Brampana, I'll give an example with you, no reflection. Imagine Brampana comes into my office and say, Pastor, I'm being bewitched. It doesn't matter what he says after. I will have a problem. How did they find you? Brother, if we bring this before the church, young ones will say, if a deacon was found by the witches, who am I? So, I will not even give him a mic. We'll switch it off right in the office and say, what you are saying is a reflection that something has gone haywire. Are you with me? You can't, while you are listening to Metro, it just automatically switched to SAFM. The frequency must be changed. Now, if witches are able to reach your frequency, that means you change to their frequency. So I need to change you back to a divine frequency. Because a testimony can come and glorify a witch. And that
is the last person that I would ever want to glorify. A witch. Not at all. Sometimes when you're a believer and things are not going right, come, we'll lay hands on you. It's not bad luck. Maybe we just need to pray on you so that God can begin to help you. Maybe it's just poor decision making. And when we have prayed for you, you sober up and begin to think that certain things, I'm where I am because of impulsive thinking. It has nothing to do with a witch. You can say amen to that.
Amen.
I'm not disputing that the witch is there, but the witch exists for certain people,
amen,
not for us.
Amen.
For as I passed by, and I beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Paul realized their superstitions. Superstitions affect devotions. Devotions are in that manner because there is an unknown God that is being worshipped ignorantly. But Paul comes to declare that God, to make the unknown God to be known to them. Because as soon as they know him, they will not worship ignorantly.
Amen.
You know, when you worship God ignorantly, that means you are ignorant of his power. Are you still with me? You think certain things are depending on you. You know, there are people that think they need to protect themselves. They think if something happens, it's because I did not protect. You can't protect yourself. When did you start attempting to protect yourself? Because at birth, while you were a seed, a watery seed, and before you were formed into a being, God ordered your footsteps.
Amen.
Are you still with me?
Amen.
During a pregnancy, a conception passage, I'm told it is one of the acidic passages. But someone, and you've got to swim upstream. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Now, such a hostile environment, you went through it. Not only alone, but you outran hundreds of millions of your potential brothers and sisters. And later, you were just a baby in your mother's womb. You had no way to protect yourself. Now, when you are born and you have come of age, you want to start protecting yourself. That's foolishness. Brother, bring this quotation, the supernatural. Paragraph 20. A prophet says, but it's in the attitude of the people that brings the results. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is the attitude of the people that bring the result. That's the reason at Pentecost, they had to go to an upper room and pray until the Holy Ghost came. Because they got in one place and one accord. Is the atmosphere what brings the results? He says, you believe that?
Amen.
Let every man and woman in this building this morning, boy or girl, get everything from their minds but to the Lord Jesus. And believe he's standing present right now. You will see something happening that will cause headlines in the newspaper in the morning. Excuse me, that's right. It's an atmosphere. The reason Brother Freddy was here leading songs, he wanted to create an atmosphere. Because when you come, I mean, throughout the week, there's been a lot that happened in our lives. There's been things that broke your spirit. Things that discouraged you. Battles that you fought that no one knows what you went through. And as you are coming into the presence of God, you are overburdened. You are sitting there, you are in church, but your mind is wandering out there. You are trying to balance things. You are trying to restructure things. Now, the reason we sing songs is to bring you back into church. But are you still with me? And when it says, let's clap our hands, he wants to know that you are present. Let's worship God. And you will see, maybe song leaders, they don't know why they do this, but I will explain why they do that. Now, there will be times where he's just singing a worshiping song. And after he has sung a worshiping song, maybe somewhat that worshiping song misses you. Then he will move into a praise. And maybe, or as he's moving, remember there are different anointings. Do you know that?
Yes.
Somebody asked me the other time, gave me a call, saw me preaching in one place and preaching in another place. And he asked me, why are you not preaching the same way as you preach the previous place where you are? I said, God uses different anointings.
Yes.
You can see the anointing that was here last week is not the same that is here.
Yes.
There is variation to an. There is an anointing to win souls.
Yes.
And there is an anointing to place souls. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Go. And that is why every minister, that's why a minister should never try to emulate another minister. They should be themselves, because your anointing is authentic for your ministry.
Amen.
If Pastor Mariwa is a fast-paced speaker, not everyone will be fast-paced speaker. Some will come and relax.
Amen.
And if they are relaxing, that's the anointing they have. Are you still with me? And you may say, this man is not going up and down, but it may be the right anointing that brings a spiritual pregnancy. Do you understand what? Are you here, people? That's why you can't go to a funeral and sing a song that is sung at a wedding. There is an anointing that is required at a funeral. Oh. Go further and study that. Amen. Now it says, let's carry on, my brother. And it says, it's in the atmosphere that brings the miraculous. Same spoken word, just downward. And it's the atmosphere that brings the miraculous and wonders. And powers of God among the people. You can see the expectations of people. It's a breeding ground for miracles. You see, when people come, maybe sometimes if we've got a convention, sometimes we will heighten your expectations. The reason we heighten your expectation is not so much about your expectation. We know that if you come expecting, it's a breeding ground for miracles. Are you still with me? How many know what I'm talking about? There are times when you come to church and you just say, I'm going there. Maybe the battle has been raging. You just say, I'm going there. And however way you come, that's exactly what you will get. Are you still with me? It says, and it's the atmosphere that brings the miraculous and wonders and powers of God among the people. It's the atmosphere of the people. And when you get to a place, they are reasoning and wondering and stewing and thinking and all tore up and don't know where they do stand. Half of them not even scripturally taught. How can you expect the atmosphere to be right? The stewing, the gossiping, the bickering, the stewing, the reasoning, it can be attributed to poor teaching. A church that is well scripturally taught, such things, they don't thrive in their midst. And maybe in this case, I've been here for a number of years, I have never gotten into a place where I attended to an issue of this brother gossiped about that brother, or that sister gossiped about that sister. I've never been expected to preside or judge on such cases. And I've always told people that the reason I've never come to that is because everybody in this church is busy. A gossiper becomes a gossiper because it's a busy bee. If you gossip, you are not busy. And if we realize that you're not busy, we will give you something to do. Amen. And it will occupy your mind. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We are very busy in this church.
Amen.
And there's nothing wrong, because an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Now he says, you can't do that. It won't be right. It's got to be in one accord. I have made it a habit over the years. If any time I'm aware of a dispute between fellow believers, I never wait until the next service. I always push that it must be resolved immediately. And when you are a minister, I'm helping you, ministers. Whenever you have a dispute with anyone, resolve it immediately. You know why? Because if you don't resolve it, if I come this morning to preach, maybe I've got a pending dispute with anyone in the church. As I'm preaching, they are checking, is he going to go there? And per adventure, I may say something that resembles the dispute. Immediately they say, I knew it. But if we have resolved, we have unclogged the channel of the Spirit.
Yes.
By the time I come on the pulpit, he knows, that's my brother.
Amen.
Are you still with me?
Yes.
Never have any pending issue with any believer. Resolve it. If it's not resolved, then it is on them. I hope that is a solid scriptural advice.
Amen.
Now it says, you can't do it. It won't be right. It's got to be in one accord, one place, and settled down with one motive, one thing. Then you're going to see something happen. The only thing to bring the right atmosphere then for the dance is to put on your old music that makes dances. And everybody get thinking, what a good time they are going to have, dancing and so forth. And they will be having a big whooping up everybody in the whooping up time. Put the right kind of music on the piano, the organ, and everybody in the atmosphere that Jesus Christ is there, and going to meet everything that they have need of. Something will go taking place. Atmosphere.
Amen.
Even in your home, the music that you play creates an atmosphere.
Amen.
A lot of times when I counsel young people, a lot of times when they say, I'm depressed, I want to say, what music do you listen to? Country music is known to be one of the depressing music. Do you know that? Always start with a sad story and end with a sad story and leave you sad. Are you still with me? And there is music. I think I sent the music last night. I just had a wonderful time when I listened to this song. I wonder what they are doing over. It just took me to heaven.
And it made me remember souls that have gone on to be with the Lord. It just brought me closer to heaven. And I say, I wonder what they are doing right now in heaven. Amen. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Now he says, but that's the hardest thing there is to do. Song leaders, creating an atmosphere, I feel you need to pray for them. They are the first one in the line of defense. By the time the pastor comes, they have come in contact with demons. Are you still? They need to prepare. They need to drive out. And there are times where they know they will come here and sing, and really, when they leave the pulpit, they say, God have mercy on the pastor. Things are really tough today. Do you know what I'm talking about? And there are times when they are singing like this morning, you are out there, you can't wait to get on the pulpit. You say, the ground is fertile.
Yes.
But now, it is not the job of the song leader to prepare the ground. It is the job of everyone in the building to prepare the ground.
Yes.
And a lot of times, what happens on Sunday morning depends what happened on Sunday night. And Sunday night, it depends what mood, what atmosphere a believer creates, because that atmosphere, you are bringing it to church.
Yeah.
And folks, we are known. It is a known fact. There are people that you know, they bring a certain atmosphere.
Amen.
Are you still with me?
Yeah.
There are people that you know when they call them an amen corner. When a preacher is there, is preaching, you know, if brother so-and-so is there, no matter how rough the terrain is, I know he's going to be there and say, keep on going on, my brother.
Yeah.
He's not cheering up the preacher. He's driving out Satan and say, this man has got something to deliver. Use the gates of hell. Give way.
Yeah.
When you say amen, and it's not only for me, ministers that come in, when you say amen to them, you're not patting them on the back, but you are saying, brother, I know it's a battle,
amen,
but we are into this together.
Amen.
So be it, amen to that.
Amen.
Amen to that. And all of a sudden, when the brother is feeling heaviness, he says, Satan, believers are pulling.
Amen.
And in no time, Satan dwindles.
Amen.
That is why you can't come to church and stare at the preacher and look shocked and wonder. I've preached in many conventions, and I always observe how you know that a convention is going to be a success. When I get to a convention and a minister is ministering, the people that I normally focus on is other pastors. If they sit down and when minister is ministering, but in their hearts they are wondering, I can put it better. There he said, I will say it this, you're going to have a chaotic convention. But if the men of God are there and they are looking at another man of God and they say, preach it, brother.
Yeah.
Those men are breaking the spell in the church.
Yeah.
You see, it takes a preacher to understand a preacher. You that are preaching, you know what I'm going through right now.
Yeah.
Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Now, a preacher can't sleep on another preacher. It's a scandalous thing.
Yeah,
it's a scandal. Amen.
Amen.
Are you still with me?
Yes.
He says, but it's the hardest thing there is to do. That is to get people in that atmosphere. Even you in your house, to get yourself in the atmosphere is one of the difficult things.
Amen.
How many know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
You come into the presence of God. You want to worship. But as you want to worship, there's just this burden. There's this concern. And the devil is using the concern to dismiss the seriousness of the moment and say, "You, how can you stand here? Look at that. Look at that." And before you know it, it's a 5 minutes prayer. Then you are done. But that's not a worship. Now, when you want to defeat Satan and really worship God, move the focus on yourself. Move the focus on your environment. Focus on Him. Praise Him. Acknowledge Him. Speak of His majesty. The greater He becomes, the lower your concerns will be. You cannot come into the presence of God and worship and be concerned with bills at the same time. No. Take God before Genesis. Take God before your debts. Take God before your concerns. And go beyond into eternity and say, you are Elohim. You were there before the planets were there. You were there before Satan was there. You were there before my condition was there. You are Elohim, self-existing one. When you take Him there, Satan will never reach you. Are you still here, people? The problem when we go to God, we've got a list of requests. Sometimes food requests aside. And say, I want to connect with Him beyond the realms of time. I want to go back to His Genesis, His origin. Now you understand why Job, when he was going through the difficulty, when he was in discouraged, God comes to him and says, Job, where were you before the foundations? Where were you when the sons of God shouted for Job? When the morning stars sang? He wanted to remind Job, you were a worshiper. Before the body, you were a worshiper. Before the worms, you were a worshiper. Before the losses, you were a worshiper. Before everything, you were a worshiper. You are a worshiper. And this morning I can repeat again, despite what you're going through, despite your challenges, where were you when the morning stars sang and the sons of God shouted for you? Where were you? Father Jay, hallelujah. Somebody will say, Brother Madiba, I was there. Before everything, I was there. Then you will raise your hands and say, holy, holy unto the Lord. Worship is an eternal activity. Worship is an eternal activity. It's beyond flesh. It's beyond circumstances. It's beyond worries. It's beyond everything. It is eternal as God is eternal. Hallelujah. My original duty is to be a worshiper. My original duty is to be a worshiper. Oh God, you are amazing. There is none like you. There is none like you. You are my God. You are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. You are Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. You are my beginning. You are sovereign. Then you worship God. Then that elevates you above every situation. That elevates you above every trial. Oh, David was a worshiper. David was a worshiper. When the word returned back, and when the word was in the position, David rejoiced. David started rejoicing. David started dancing until the wife said, you are a king. Oh, brother, worship doesn't care about title. Worship doesn't care about your position. When you are a worshiper, you don't care whether you are a pastor. You don't care whether you are a deacon. You don't care whether you are an elder. You worship God. And say, God, I worship you. And tears stream down your cheek. God, I worship you. You are my Redeemer. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Melchizedek. You are Elohim. You are everything. I worship you. That's worship. That's worship. Hallelujah. worship in spirit. In spirit. Your neighbor is looking at you. You're not looking at them. You're worshiping God. You remember where he took you from. You remember your trials. You remember your battles. And say, God, I'm a victor. Not because of my strength, but because of you. Worship. The hour coming. And now is the time where the true worshipers will worship the Father. We are your children. We have your DNA. We were there with you. That's worship. That's worship. That's worship. That's true worship. In spirit and in truth. After the book was taken, John, Brother Bram said, after the seals, after the fires, after the church ages, after the seals, he says, time to worship. When the seals were broken and John saw his name, all that was in heaven and all that was on the earth and all that was in the sea, I had I John saying amen. So be it. You are holy, the Lamb. You are worthy, the Lamb. You claim your rights. My name is in the book. The devil cannot take it out. No one can take it out. You wrote it in the eyes. I saw my name. Hallelujah. A time of jubilee. When you know no one can take you out. Your name was written by God. What is your name? Not Peter, not James. You are Theophany. John saw another John. You saw yourself in a glorified state and said, that's me. A time to worship. A time to praise God. I'm sick, but my body is not sick. A time to worship. When you see your name, and say, okay, what did I do to deserve this unmerited grace? Unmerited grace. A time to worship. Where God becomes central to your worship. Let's say, we are standing on holy ground. Let's sing it, church. We are standing on holy ground. This morning, like Moses of the old, he took off his shoes. Joshua of the old took off his shoes. This morning we are standing on holy ground. And there are angels. You know, after the cherubims and the seraphims have been saying holy, holy unto the Lord for ages and ages. In the end time, they shush. There was silence in heaven because worship, heavenly worship, dropped on the earth. There was silence in heaven, but not on earth. There was jubilee on the face of the earth. Now it's no longer the angel that say, oh, you're holy. Is the mortals that are saying holy, holy. Why? Because the throne is no longer there. The throne has dropped into the heart of men. Your heart has become a place of worship that is guarded by the four living creatures. When you are holy, you say not holy there, but holy based on what has come. Now the prophets say, what was once God's great secret that he had in his mind is now in the heart of every believer. The throne of God in every believer. Where you go, angels are there. You are a worshiper. Not on Sunday, not on every time. In the middle of the night, oh Lord, I am a worshiper. When they come and repossess the car, you are a worshiper. When there are no bills to be paid, you are a worshiper. Because that's your eternal duty. Ah, let's sing it. We are standing on holy ground. And there are angels around this place. Can we sing it, church? You can just start it wherever you are. And I know this morning. One more time, all over the building. Thank you. worship him. Hallelujah. He deserves our worship. He deserves our worship. Hallelujah. How many believe he deserves to be worshipped? He deserves to be adored, to be appreciated. Hallelujah. To be accepted. That's my God. That's my Savior. That's my Redeemer. No one like him. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We adore you this morning. You are our God. There is no one like you. Elohim. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for us to be worshipers. Worship you in spirit and in truth. Our God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't be afraid to worship him. Don't be afraid to worship him. Don't be afraid to tell him, you are my all in all. You are my Redeemer. You are my Deliverer. He died for you. He delivered you. He forgave you. He deserves all the worship. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. David said, let everything that has a breath praise the Lord. Reign, King. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Worship him. You are worthy. Thank you. time.
A worshiping song, Brother Mhlabi, as he comes to wrap up in prayer for us, and a worshiping song.
Yes.
He started taking tambourines, Father, and cymbals, and they started worshiping, Father. Because whatever they've gone through, Father, they could look back, Father, and see a Red Sea. And yes. They could see the enemies, Father, the Egyptian, who has just drowned into the same Red Sea, Father, that you've delivered them from, Father. Because, Father, the Egyptian, Father, who were their enemies, they thought, Father, they could pursue them through the Red Sea, Father, who's thanks, Father, you've opened for the Israelites to go through, Father. But, Father, it was through your grace, Father, that the Israelites were only able to go through, but the enemies was drowned.
Yes.
Even in our life, Father, this very day, we live that, Father, all our enemies, all the devil has tried to do, Father, through his plan, Father, he has drowned in this very same Red Sea, Father, that you have delivered us from, Father. Because, Father, it is the same, Father, that has made us, Father, to be able to wanted, Father, to keep us captive, Father.
Yes.
But it is the very same, Father, that you have, Father, with your blood, Father, had come, Father, with your fire from heaven, burned. And, Father, we believe that even this very day, Father, in while we are here, Father, there is nothing, Father, that can prevent us, Father, from reaching for the victory that you've given us. Here are your children, Father, with their hands raised up this morning, Father. You are the one who knows what is in their hearts. You are the one who knows what is it that they
need. Yes.
You are the one who knows the trials that they are going through. You are the one who knows who they are very needs, Father. That is why, Father, we know that you will go through them, Father, into their hearts, Father, this morning, Father. And you will go, Father, reach deep in their hearts, Father. Whatever that they need, Father, you will come and provide. Whatever, Father, that they've gone through, Father, whatever, Father, failure they've gone through, Father, you will come and turn that failure into victory. Whatever failure, Father, they've gone through, you will come and turn that failure into success.
Yes.
And we believe, Father, while we're going through here, Father, while we're going through this challenging times, Father, of this virus that we're going through, Father.
Yes.
You are the one, Father, who's taken us through, Father.
Exactly.
You are the one, Father, who has led us through this, Father. That is why, Father, even this morning, Father, as we are here, Father, we could look back and say, Father, you have taken us through. You have led us through these trials, Father. This temptation, this thing that the devil has tried to do, Father, that we thought we would never be able to come and worship, Father. Here we are this morning worshiping you, Father, again. God, Father, we know, Father, that you are the one who deserves the victory. You are the one who deserves the praise. You are the one who deserves the worship. Because, Father, you are the true God, Father. You are the one true God that deserves the true worship, Father. And, Father, we are so grateful that this morning, Father, we as your children, Father, we know who we worship, Father. Because we worship the Father.
Yes.
Because, Father, we, while other people may be worshiping other gods, but we come, Father, as children, Father, because we are part of your children. Before the beginning of the world, Father, when you created the heaven and the earth, when you created people, we said, let us.
Yes.
Those people that were speaking to us.
Exactly.
So even this morning, whatever we may grow to, Father, we know that you can never forsake us. Because we are your very own people. We are part of you, Father. That is why even this morning, Father, we believe that, Father, that we can never, there's nothing, Father, that can ever plan, that can ever exclude us, Father. Because the devil, the Bible tells us, Father, that whatever, Father, you do, Father, you will reveal us to us through the prophet. And this morning, Father, we know that we have the true prophet, Father, that you brought for us this morning to come and lead us and give us this message that we love so much. Here are your children, Father. We are so grateful this morning, and we would like to thank the Father, the Pastor, Father, for the message.
Yes.
Father, you've given us this morning, Father. And we know that virtue has left him, Father. Replace that virtue, Father. And even the children, for your children, Father, may you please, Father, bless them.
Let it be so.
Pray, believe in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Before we go, you know, when Elizabeth was pregnant with John, and John was still born in the womb of Elizabeth, but when she met Mary, hallelujah, Mary conceived of the Messiah, the Bible says John, in the womb of Elizabeth, leaped with joy. Hallelujah. That's what worship will make you worship.
Hallelujah.
Even in your mother's womb.
Yes.
I don't know what song he sang. A master said, Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. He is the King. How many agree?
Yes.
I can see when he was coming on that donkey to Jerusalem, and they were putting leaves on the road, they must have sung, Messiah is the King of Kings. You know, when you know who you worship, it brings joy.
Yeah.
Shall we worship him this morning? Amen. Is the King of Kings.
Yeah.
this song, it reminds me of Brother Theo Erasmus. I think he's the oldest friend that I ever had. He became, while he was in his 50s, he was my friend when I was in my around 15 years. He used to love this song. Yes, he was my friend. He used to love this song. Higher, higher. Lift him higher. Lower, lower. He is going to be with the Lord around 1998. He's one of the people that I was thinking that I wonder, where is Brother Theo Erasmus? Do you know him, Brother Philip? Very old veteran in the faith. Amen. Let's sing it. Then once we are done this one, then we'll say, when the praises go up, his glory comes down. Then, all right, then you go and worship God. Worship doesn't end here. Monday morning, Satan is waiting for you with some tornado. Ride on those waves with worship. There is a song for every moment. Amen. How many know that? Murai. Let's sing that one. Higher, higher. Yes. I want him to be higher, even with a tune. Amen. Amen. Sisters, can you help us? You know, we want to go higher, but Satan is busy pushing you down. We want to go higher. Lower, lower. on him. Step on him. Don't worry about the time. Step on him. Hey, step on him. Yes. Hallelujah. Help us with that one. When the praises go up, just swap the mic with him. Then thereafter, have a blessed week. Amen. Let it be victorious. May God open all the avenues. Amen. And if there is any problem, may it be resolved in Jesus Christ's name. But God will bulldoze the way for you. It will be a blessed week. We pronounce it a blessed week. Amen. Amen. Yes. We lift him higher. Comes down. Do you lift him higher this afternoon? Hallelujah. His glory comes down. bless you. Amen. Amen.